Oh, Father, you are gracious, you are kind, you are merciful. As we've just heard in Scripture, you are patient with us, waiting for your people to repent. But when that day does come, it will be a great day of judgment. We do ask, as your word has been spoken now, we would listen carefully, we would respond in obedience, and correct our lives to it. Amen. Now, if you are not familiar with what we're doing, we're going through the book of Exodus. What a wonderful study it's been so far, looking at the life of God's people as they were in Egypt. We reminded ourselves as we started off the series that this is the story of God. And that's what the entire Bible is telling us about. It's telling us about God. This is the story of God. In Exodus, one of the things we see here, which is the title this morning, I'd like you to consider this as we go through the sermon, is when God kept speaking and he wasn't taken seriously. When God kept speaking and he wasn't taken seriously. Now, you may remember, one of the things we saw is that God called Moses and God sent him to be God's representative before the people and before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. We also know, you may recall, that Moses initially refused God. He came up with all sorts of excuses on why he wouldn't be involved in God's work or respond to God's call on his life. Moses initially refused, but God encouraged him. God said, I will be with you. I am sending you. And you will see me at work. And so Moses, being encouraged by God, he takes Aaron and he goes to the people, he goes to the king. And they took the message of God, they took the word of God. This is what God's servants do. They take the word of God to people. And they brought this message from God to the king. And this word from God was actually a command. It was an instruction. It was not just a simple request from God. This is what God wanted. God said, you may remember these words, let my people go that they may worship me. That's what God wanted. But Pharaoh did not listen to God. He did not listen to God's word. He did not listen to Moses and to Aaron. He did not let the people go and worship God. God said, as a result of Pharaoh's hard heart and not listening to God, that God is going to take Pharaoh's firstborn from him. God was going to kill his firstborn. It's quite a painful thing if you think back at chapter 4. It's interesting what God says, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. So I will kill your firstborn son. Can you imagine such an encounter with God? Can you imagine receiving the words of God in such a manner, parent, and not listening to him? It would be a frightening thing. You'd be trembling. But Pharaoh didn't listen. He didn't let the people go. And in an amazing and dramatic attack upon Egypt, God keeps his promise. And you know the story. At the end, God sets his people free. So look with me as we go to Exodus chapter 8. What God is doing here. The story of God. And we're going to see all that happened when God kept speaking and he wasn't taken seriously. I'm sure along the way you're going to hear things and you're going to think, wow, that's speaking to me. And you're going to be applying this to yourself. I trust God by his Spirit would do that in us this morning. Now, when we think back to Genesis, it may seem a long way away as we are in Exodus, But as you think back to Genesis, we should not be surprised at this point that this whole part of Israel's history is exactly what God had planned and promised. This is what God said to the forefathers. God said that His people were going to be enslaved. They were going to be in a form of captivity, and He would be the one who's going to liberate them and deliver them. Remember that. This is all God's story. This is God's plan. God knew the wicked heart of the king of Egypt. God knew that he would be stubborn. God knew that the more God spoke to him, the more God approached him, the more God performed his wonders and signs, it would not break the heart of the king, but it would harden the heart of the king. So the act and the power and the word of God only hardened the heart of Pharaoh. In so doing, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, God knows the nature of sin in human beings. So God is not being cruel. No, He's not a cruel God. God's not playing on Pharaoh's weakness. No, He's not taking advantage of, poor, helpless, defenseless Egypt. No, God's doing what is just. God is doing what is right. He always does that, you see. But notice how many times He speaks to Pharaoh and He speaks to His people. Let's pick this up in chapter 7, verse 10. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret hearts. Each one threw down his staff and it became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and it would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. You see, Moses and Aaron, the spokespersons for God, the representatives of God, the servants of God, they go to Pharaoh. They go into his presence, they perform these miracles that God had given them, and the staff becomes a snake. But as we've seen, it's interesting that the magicians come up and they do a very similar thing. By their secret arts, they also cause their staffs to become snakes. But you know, God again shows His power over the acts of the magicians, where the staff of Aaron that became a snake now eats all the other snakes. But still, notice verse 13, Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to them. One would think with that sign, he may have thought, well, okay, surely you've got greater power. But we find here what happens there from verse 14 is a contest between God and the gods of Egypt. It's a great battle. It's a wonderful, dramatic event that's about to unfold. And we find as Moses and Aaron comes to Pharaoh, there's at least another 10 times where God's servant, where the word of God is coming to Pharaoh. I say at least another 10 times because we know there were 10 plagues, and in those 10 plagues, Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh at least once. So there's at least another 10 times that he's going to hear from God. And Pharaoh, you see, he had several opportunities as he hears the words of God. He had several opportunities to listen, to take God seriously. Several opportunities to hear the word of God that would have ultimately saved him, that would have ultimately saved Egypt, perhaps the disaster that would come upon them if they would only take God and His word seriously. But again, God is proving a point here, you see. I want to just make a point before we get any further here. When we see what's about to happen, we need to realize scientists have tried to explain these plagues away. Many people have taken the plagues and come up with theories on how they could have happened, a progression, one thing leads to the other, or this is what had taken place naturally. You know, at a certain season, the Red Sea would have this sort of red algae, and it would, perhaps that was taken to be blood. But notice what happens here, because we're not just talking about any old miracle. This is the word of God, where God says this is going to happen, it will happen. Remember, this is the God who is the creator being that is speaking. This is the God who spoke, and out of nothing came all that we see in terms of creation. So this is God who could make this happen just by speaking it into being, as he did in Genesis chapter 1. God said, and it was. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the passage that was read for us, I want to turn over there quickly if I can. 2 Peter and chapter 3 verse 5. It's interesting. Listen to this. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Now listen to verse 5. But they deliberately forgot that long ago by God's word. By what? By God's word. What happened? The heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Verse 6. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. He's talking about the great flood. Verse 7. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So we're talking about a great God here. We're talking not just about some old magic trick here. You're talking about the God who is the creator being. He brought things into existence. And by his word, he would judge the world and ungodliness. And by his word, he preserves and he saves. God speaks and God calls things to being. That is what we're going to see as we enter into these 10 plagues. Pharaoh calls his magicians, and all they can do at best is to imitate God's powerful miracles. You may see that going around in your life. We see this largely in the medical field, where you've got people trying to do stem cells, various reproduction things, you know, all sorts of stuff going on. Now, I'm not speaking as an expert, but these are things that we're being told via the news and via media. That we have the world trying to do things that would imitate what God has done. We've got the magicians here trying to imitate God's powerful miracles. Yes, initially they try and they seem to be very successful. Remember, we've just heard of that one miracle there. Ashika is here, so I won't mention it. But they don't succeed for a long time, you see. Because in chapter 7, verse 21... it's interesting, the fish in the Nile died when the water is turned into blood. They die. The river smells so bad, we're told that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. Would not listen to Moses and Aaron just as the Lord had said. It's interesting. Aaron strikes the Nile water. It turns to blood. That's devastating. You can imagine the Nile was their source of life. That is what Egypt depends on for its existence. But it here becomes lifeless. In a way, the Nile River is bleeding. It becomes blood. It is useless to anybody. The very thing that they put their hope in lets them down. Not on its own, but because of God. The silly thing that the magicians do in verse 22 is that they make it worse. The very little water that may have remained, they go and turn that into blood as well. They imitate this miracle of God, adding to the problem. But notice what happens. Pharaoh would not listen. In verse 23, we are told that instead he turned and he went into his palace and he did not even take this to heart. You know, friends, when God is doing something great and powerful, miraculous, perhaps it's a sign, perhaps there's something to stand in awe and wonder at him. And yet we just don't take it to heart. We don't take it to heart. The story goes on then in chapter 8. Wonderful thing. Pharaoh would not listen to God again. And so God brings about the frogs And again, just as the blood was everywhere in Egypt, there are frogs. Frogs everywhere. I don't know if you like frogs. But if you like frogs, you would have been celebrating. Maybe you would have been upset at this point because there were just too many frogs. And look at verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed and into your houses of your officials and on your people and into your ovens and kneading troughs. There's frogs everywhere. Even if you like frogs, you would stop liking frogs at that point. But again, the magicians imitate the miracle and they bring more frogs. As if there weren't enough. Well, at least this time, as we look at the response from Pharaoh, there's some acknowledgement. There's some acknowledgement of what God is doing, because God said he was going to bring frogs. You see, in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him. So this wasn't just some rare coincidence. Didn't just happen because of something else. This is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. In verse 2, if you refuse to let them go. Now, the frogs came as a result of Pharaoh's refusal. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. This happened because God caused it to happen. Pharaoh acknowledges that this has been done by God because he heard that God said, if you don't let them go, I will bring the frogs. So he calls for Moses. He asks Moses, Moses, please pray for me. Please get rid of these frogs. Look at verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and he said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. And I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and for your officials and your people, that you and your house may be rid of frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. You know what he's doing? He's saying the frogs, I don't want you to say that this has just happened by chance or coincidence. You tell me what time you want these frogs to go. And I will pray to God to remove it at that time. And you will see that it will be removed. So you know that this is God. Isn't that amazing? And Moses prays. Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Tomorrow, let the frogs be gone tomorrow. Moses prays and God listens. And God removes it. But you see what happens. Pharaoh begins to bargain with God. He thinks, oh, you know what? I can bargain with God here now. Because he seems to be doing what I'm... You know, God is reasoning with me here. We heard this so often, isn't it? Sometimes we hear it said to us, be faithful and God will be faithful in return. Have you heard that said to you? You know what's the problem there? The problem is we think that God's faithfulness is dependent on our faithfulness. No. God's faithfulness is not dependent on man's faithfulness or on man's goodness. God's faithfulness is dependent on his good and pure character. He is faithful because that's who he is. Not because his faithfulness is in response to us. But the frogs are gone. Pharaoh's heart is hard and he refuses to let the people go. Then comes the next plague from verse 16. I wonder if you've ever been bitten by fleas or mosquitoes. You know, when my dad built our home in 93, we moved in. But before we moved in, we didn't have doors and stuff like that. And so dogs used to come and sleep in the place. So we had to go and clean it up. And I tell you, the first week was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Without a fail, every day we were being bitten until we got rid of all the fleas from the house. And I can only imagine what this experience would have been like. God spoke. Pharaoh did not listen. So God sent the third plague of this sort of flying, stinging, biting, flea-type insects. Or gnats, if you like it, like it's been called there. And the magicians, this time they try. They try to recreate. I don't know why they would do this, but they tried to recreate this. They tried to imitate God's power and they fail. And look at verse 19, what they confess, what they admit. Verse 19, the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." This is the finger of God. They finally came to realize there is a great and awesome power. What a confession. What a statement. Not that they believe in God, but they have come to acknowledge the power of God. And having failed with his magicians, with his sorcerers, Pharaoh still continues with his hard heart. He still continues to reject God because he's got another avenue that's open to him. He comes to listen to the voices around him, to the voices of his officials and to his advisors, to those who seem to be wise in his courts, those who are wise in his circles, you see. Let me listen to them. If those who seem to have skills and power and resources have failed me, let me come to those who seem to have wisdom and knowledge and intellect. Well, you know the story, isn't it? Pharaoh again does not listen to the words of God through Moses and Aaron. And God then, verse 20 onwards, God sends flies, swarms of flies throughout Egypt. Flies are everywhere. Look at verse 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies and even the ground where they are.'" Can you imagine such swarms of flies? You know what it can be like around, if you've got dogs and your dogs go and mess up in the yard and there's flies all around. You know what it's like. If you grew up in the way my father grew up on the farm and you had cows and other livestock around, you know what it's like. There's flies all over the place. You know what it's like around a dirty bin. You know what it's like when you've got food out on a hot summer's day in Durban. Flies. You know what it's like even when there's one pesky little fly moving around. Can you imagine swarms of flies everywhere? That's what it was like in Egypt. And I say that's what it was like in Egypt because God here does an amazing thing. He gave Pharaoh a day to respond because he said the next day the flies are going to come. And there were flies everywhere throughout. And verse 24 says that there were so many flies, look at it, and the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials and throughout Egypt. And the land was ruined by flies. That's how much of flies there were. Pharaoh again responds with a hard heart. But again he comes to a compromise. Look at verse 25. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. He said, Go sacrifice to your God here in the land. I'll let you go sacrifice. But don't leave as God has asked you to leave. Don't leave as you are telling me. Go and sacrifice, but do it here in the land." And Moses said, "That would not be right. Firstly, the sacrifices we offer to the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as He commanded us." We must do things the way God had commanded us. We must do things the way God expects. And Pharaoh goes on, verse 28, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me." See, all Pharaoh is interested in being relieved. Let me point out two interesting things before I bring this to a close. Two interesting things here. Here's the first thing that God is doing. God made a distinction. God made a distinction between His people and those who are not His people. Listen to this carefully now. Because this is where it all builds up to before it continues again. Look at verse 22. God continues to speak here. He's saying, but on that day when God is bringing the flies, on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen. You know the land of Goshen. That's where God's people lived. Remember when Joseph was there and the land was allotted to his father and to his family? It was the land of Goshen. God says, that's where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there. So that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. It's amazing. You try and take flies. Okay, flies, listen. Please, we're trying to have our Christmas lunch. We will put some Christmas lunch there for you. So you go outside your house and you put there all of some food and the flies leave your table and you go and eat there. It doesn't happen that way, does it? Flies will go where flies want to go. But it's interesting here that the whole of Egypt has got swarms of flies, yet in this one part in Egypt, no swarms of flies. Isn't that amazing? That God can control His creation in such a manner. That God can bring both His judgment and His peace in such a way. What an amazing thing He's doing. And that's the first thing I want to point out to you. God was with His people. God was in control of this judgment. He doesn't just send a judgment and then things happen the way they want to. God is in control of it. Remember our memory verse? Don't despise the discipline of the Lord. God was in control of the judgment. The flies only went where God wanted them to go. That's the power of God. That's also the grace of God to His people. If you're a child of God, you may be chastised by God for a moment. You may be disciplined by God for a time. Or you may be going through a time of peace. Understand that this is the same God who brings both. His peace and His discipline. And He has a great purpose when He does that. That's the grace of God. That's the judgment of God. And He does these things very deliberately by His will. Here's the second thing I want to point out very quickly. Have you ever tried getting rid of flies? You've tried sticking up those twirly things that hoping the flies get stuck on them, then it becomes an eyesore and you want to rip that off. Or you've got these little containers you hang under the tree or somewhere and the flies go there to the liquid. We've got all sorts of other things. You've tried getting rid of flies, but look at what happened. God promises that He will remove the flies as well. Verse 31. Verse 30. Let's look at verse 30, right? Okay, verse 29. Let's go back. Moses answered Pharaoh after Pharaoh says, you know, pray for me, I'll let you go. As soon as I leave you, Moses says, I will pray to the Lord and tomorrow, here's the timeline, tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Verse 30, then Moses left Pharaoh and he prayed to the Lord and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. How many of you, when you have fly problems, you go and pray? And that's not the lesson here, right? But that's what Moses did. Verse 32. But this time, also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Remember the title? When God kept speaking, He wasn't taken seriously. These are the things that's happening. God is working. God is coming to a point which we'll see in the next few weeks as we continue through this book. I just want to speak to us for a moment as we've been reflecting on these words from God. How many times have we heard the word of God spoken to us? How many times, how often, either at home from our parents or from our family members, we have had the word of God spoken, we would have heard it at some point. Do we listen? Do we take God seriously when He speaks? Or do we test Him because in 2 Peter God says He's patient? Do we test the patience of God? How many times have we heard the word of God? Maybe at church on a Sunday morning, at Bible study, at a ladies or men's fellowship, at Sunday school, perhaps at youth meeting. perhaps at a church camp, maybe through the family Bible studies when you gather at home. Do we listen? Do we listen? We come through every Sunday, we listen to the sermon, we may think, wow, wasn't that nice? Oh, isn't God great? Oh, I must do this, that, and the other in obedience to God. But do we really listen to God? Do we take Him seriously? Do we allow God's word to change our lives so that when we walk out here, we are different people? Do we allow God's word to change our thinking so when we get into the world, we're no longer influenced by the thinking, the philosophy of this world? You see, we may hear God's word on the radio being preached. We may read God's word by an app that comes up on our phone. But however it comes about, do we listen when God speaks? You know, it's so comforting to know the words of Joel chapter 2 verse 13. Bishop is preaching through Joel. Joel chapter 2 verse 13, where God says, we are told there, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Wonderful words to hear, isn't it? Slow to anger. Oh, that's good. So let me play on God's patience. I will respond to Him later. Because God relents from sending calamity. But let us not abuse this love of God. Let us not abuse this patience of God. Let us not put it to the test, lest we start to suffer like Pharaoh did. For Scripture also teaches us, as we will see with Pharaoh and Egypt, and we mustn't forget this, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The reason for God's patience is for us to change our lives, for us to turn around. Because He says He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. We won't come to the perishing and the destruction of God's wrath if we come in repentance. God is patient so that we can come to Him now before the ultimate judgment at Christ's return. A judgment that we will not escape unless we have come to listen to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and accept Him. Would you bow your heads as we come to God in prayer? God may have been speaking to you yet another time today. Would you listen? Would you hear Him? He is patient with us, and perhaps He's spoken to some of us today through various signs and wonders that He's performed in your life previously. Maybe He's using His message as a warning, or maybe He's using it as a sign that's calling you back to Him. Job 5 verse 17, blessed is the man or the woman whom the Lord corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Our Father, help us to take Your words to heart, unlike Pharaoh who did not take it to heart. Would we learn these lessons tenderly as You lovingly speak to us, rather than painfully when You chastise us? Help us, we pray, as Your children, to honor You.